Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our Sunday service. And we begin with a prayer of thanks to the Lord for the way His love and grace has guided us through the years. So, loving Father, we ask you to be the Lord of our lives and to help us to be those who live for the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So, take us on, we pray, through this coming year. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So now, if you have got your Bibles and would like to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, Matthew 8, Peter Livett is going to read these verses for us.
Using the English Standard Version of the Bible, our reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through to 17. Verses 5 through to 17. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Amen.
Thank you, Peter, for reading for us. It's good to hear from you again. And in thinking during the month of January, just doing some one-off messages, and thinking of a subject for this particular Sunday, my mind kept going back to this matter of the great problem of sickness that has been accentuated all around us in 2020. Sickness is a very horrible thing. We don't like being ill. We don't like our loved ones being ill. And of course, illnesses around us all of the time. But last year, all of our lives were affected in some way. And of course, that does bring the question, why does a good God, the God that we know to being kind and compassionate and good, how does a good God allow people to get sick? Well, the Bible has lots to say about sickness and disease, and so today I want to bring you a simple message from the Bible regarding a biblical or a Christian view of sickness. And the verses Peter read from Matthew 8, I think, will help us to see some of the answers the Bible brings to us. There are two things, among a number of others, that the Bible says to us. And the first is that God allows and uses sickness to remind us that something has gone really badly wrong with this world. The world we now live in is a broken world. And then secondly, God allows and uses sickness to remind us that God has promised to mend this broken world. And so let me read to you from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 20 and 21. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And so Paul's saying that the groaning of a broken world, which includes our sickness, is pointing to a coming glorious freedom from all that is wrong and bad and horrible in this broken world. So in that sense, sickness has a good purpose to it. And Paul goes on to describe this world's suffering as like labour pains that really hurt, but with a wonderful result and outcome. God is saying that the experience and reminder that sickness brings of a broken world is the very thing that brings us hope. Painful though it is now, God has a good purpose. He's saying, don't get too settled. Don't get too attached to this old, broken, sinful world. Because for Christians, a new world is coming. And it's glorious. So what's this new world going to be like? Well, we don't have to guess or spin fairy tales, make it up, because the Bible tells us and Jesus himself tells us. That verse 11 that Peter read to us, many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And so there's a little picture, there's a little glimpse of what this new world, this new kingdom is going to be like. God's new kingdom, his new world, is likened to a great feast in the company of family and friends. It's a little bit like a picture of Christmas lunch, which we all love. All the family and friends together, it's so good a time of joy and pleasure and satisfaction. Jesus says life in this new world, in his kingdom, will be a bit like that, only a trillion times better. God is there. He's done it all, prepared it all for his children. It's a place of plenty. It's a place of joy and happiness. And it's forever, because God has taken away all suffering, all tears, separation and death, gone. It's a forever joyful family feast. That's one picture the Bible gives us of the new earth. But is it real? Can you believe it? And the answer is that it is God who has told us. And God never lies. He always speaks the truth. But God hasn't just told us. He's shown us that it's real. And we have a glimpse of this new world here in Matthew 8. Look at how Jesus deals with a broken world. The leper, terribly diseased. And Jesus touches him and says, be clean. And immediately he is. And then the centurion and his servant who is desperately ill. And Jesus, with a word spoken from miles away from the sick person, heals him. And then Peter's mother-in-law, is sick in bed, and Jesus touches her and the fever is gone. And news of Jesus spreads. It's amazing power that he has. And in the evening there's a knock at the door. Peter's mother-in-law, and they open it, and they just can't believe what they see. There are crowds of sick and demon-possessed and suffering people just everywhere. What does Jesus do? Well, we're told that he heals them all. All of them. The seriously ill. The terminally ill. The mentally ill. No matter what it was, Jesus had power over the strongest, over the most incurable disease. And watching this gives us a glimpse of what the king's kingdom is like. When God's chosen king, King Jesus, rules the new world, there will be no sickness. There will be no suffering, nothing of those things that make life miserable. No sadness, no disappointment, no worry. It's all gone forever. No 103 pills a week for me anymore. No more scans. No more weakness, no more hospitals. What a place. And so I suppose we ask, how do you get into a world like that? Well, unlike what you hear at so many funeral services, where it appears that everyone just goes up to heaven, the Bible says that not everyone does get in. And certainly not the people who have lived their lives with no interest in Jesus and his cross Certainly none of those with no grief over their sin. You see, there is a price to pay to get into God's perfect world. Sin has separated us from God, and the Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. So there's no way into this new world for any of us at all unless our sin is dealt with. So that verse 17 says, He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. God places the results of human sin on the sinless Jesus and punishes him, his own son, in place of us. The price for the guilt of sin is paid by Jesus instead of us. He was crushed, he was wounded, so that we don't have to be. And so the door to a sickness, sadness, pain-free world is open for all who trust and live for Jesus. For when a person responds to such love and mercy and forgiveness and gives their life over to Jesus, then we will find that we do what Peter's mother-in-law did. She gets up, not particularly to enjoy herself and have a good time, which I'm sure she did, but she gets up to serve the Lord Jesus forever. I wonder if that's your goal. I wonder if it's my goal this year. You see, some of us are at the age when inevitably there won't be many years left, and sickness and illness will come. And sickness and illness really is God's megaphone to us about a broken world and the short time we've got left to serve him, to tell others about him, the good news of how he came to mend a broken world, to save those on the broad road, to save the lost. And so we close with a prayer. Father God, sickness is very horrible, but we praise you that in your wisdom and good purposes, you use the times of hurt and pain and sickness to draw us back to you and to remind us that for your children, you will put it all right one day. Amen. And so in response to a message like that, we want to tell the Lord how much we love him.